What did I think when I returned home at lunch the next day after my opening shift to find the fourth misdelivered piece of mail? That it was all a joke, that I got it now, that I knew the culprit. It was a postcard for Richard from some friend in Italy, Saint Sebastian pierced by many arrows, which of course reminded me of that incredible scene at the end of Throne of Blood where Toshiro Mifune, as the Japanese Macbeth, continues standing in his armor, majestically riddled by more arrows than I've ever been able to count. Except that in the postcard, Saint Sebastian wasn't wearing a forbidding suit of samurai armor, just this little wisp of what Richard would consider a sexy loincloth. The postcard must have been put in my box by Richard himself, because the woman upstairs from me, the one I would later think Mr. Jerry Curls was coming to visit, she was pacing in the lobby, still waiting for the mail. Now, Richard is this guy. He thinks, I don't see it myself, but he insists, and people agree, that he and I look exactly alike, except that I'm straight and he's gay, which must affect your appearance somehow, doesn't it? Richard's a bartender at El Gato Negro, that tiny basement gay bar downtown. I met him years ago when one of Paulie's short-lived restaurants was briefly upstairs. Now, Richard thought it was the funniest thing, our resemblance, the straight bartender in the main room, the faggot doppelganger down the back stairs. And he had this habit when he was younger and more of a gamer, you know, before the virus was isolated, he would pick these guys up in the bathhouses or the bushes, I don't know, tell them he worked in whichever of Paulie's bars I was at the time, give them my name, and tell them he'd stand them a free drink or two. Naturally, this led to all sorts of awkward misunderstandings, in which even I eventually found ways to find humor. So I'd known him for years without really knowing much about him outside of bartending and cruising. Maybe that was his life. He regarded my existence as a Zen koan or something, an endlessly tantalizing glimpse into the workings of some cosmic sexual hall of mirrors where one or the other or both of us were wandering. Like that amazing funhouse gunfight at the end of The Lady from Shanghai, where people keep shooting at their own reflections, which, when you think about it, might actually be rational behavior in that situation. Anyway, Richard had done his best over the years to keep the joke, which is to say, our acquaintance, alive and active, like some curious organism in a Petri jar. On Thursdays, my afternoons are free. Once I open the store, that's all I have to do. So I started off by watching the second part of the Samurai trilogy, starring, of course, Toshiro Mifune, for, let's see, part two. That was the 17th time. You know, the life of Musashi Miyamoto, the greatest of them all, the victor in 67 fatal duels, the sword saint in whom violence became a form of devout meditation. At the end of part two, when Musashi renounces the love of women and sets off down the path of chaste swordsmanship, accompanied only by his devoted boy servant, it seemed I could hear the voice of Tomas, whoever he was, in the background of an expensive long-distance connection, leering and laughing at me. Like a lot of bartenders who are pushing 40, Richard now preferred the afternoon shift, the low-pressure unwinding of happy hour, not to mention the opportunity to start one's own serious drinking earlier in the day. Elgato Negro was as dark and tacky as ever, with its cheap year-round installation of Halloween black cats. "Robbing my mailbox again, you slut," said Richard when I handed him the postcard, and without waiting for my order, he opened me a beer. "So what's going on?" I said. "What are you doing to my mail?" "That's M-A-I-L," I added, trying to forestall the predictable tangle of puns. "We're being very defensive today, aren't we?" said Richard. "Just thought you'd enjoy keeping track of our Eurotrash trick." He picked up the postcard, gazed at it with fond nostalgia. "Not just that," I said, "all week." "Mirror, mirror on the stool," said Richard. "You are still beautiful, do you know that? But you're becoming fat and mysterious, a revolting combination." "How did you do it?" I said. "All those people in the DA's office."
"The DA's office?" said Richard.
"Yeah," I said, "Monday morning, remember?"
"Please do not ask me to recall the minutiae of a Monday morning spent in the clutches of the law. Luckily, I endured the ordeal in a state of semi-coherence." And with that, Richard went off to serve another customer.
"So this postcard was the only thing you've sent me?" I asked when he returned to my spot at the bar to pour 8 seconds worth of rum into some college kid's coke. Good old Richard, I thought, still lubricating the chickens.
"I'm sorry, dear mirror," he said. "I have neglected you, I admit it. I see we've been getting blackheads as a result."
Now the charm of Richard's banter decays, I've found, quite rapidly into alcoholic nastiness, so I downed the beer quickly while he waited on 2 straight-looking guys in suits. I left a couple of bucks on the bar. Good old Richard, still stiffing the house for tips, and I moved quietly. "Oh, no, you don't," he said. There was something important he needed to discuss, he told me in a reproachful whisper, full of wounded intimacy, as he opened another beer for me. It turned out to be a particular video the 2 sporting gentlemen who'd just come in were simply itching to see. Hot scrum, featuring the most luscious Australian rugby team ever to tug each other's.
"Look," I said, "we don't carry that kind of stuff. Paulie wants it to be a family place."
"Oh, cut it out," he said. "What about your little porno club?"
"Porno club," I said. "What's that?"
"Oh, you naughty little mirror," he said. "One of your satisfied customers sat in that very stool yesterday and told me all the juicy details."
"But we don't have anything like that," I said.
"Who was this guy?"
"The guy," Richard explained between waiting on a steadily arriving clientele of regulars, "called himself Gussie Mandrigo, a stocky guy, muscular, always wore a glove on his right hand. He liked to pretend to be European, said his mama was an African fashion model in France, his daddy the heir to a Portuguese vineyard. If you ask Richard's opinion, the guy was a Puerto Rican cop in the closet."
"And that's why he likes your club," said Richard. "Very discreet."
"He's just some bullshitter," I said.
"He must be.
We don't have a single X-rated video, except for some art films. Last Tango, of course, and In the Realm..." said Richard loudly. "Please, please, please, do not bore me." He looked severely up and down the bar. If anyone mentions Marlon Brando and his butter... And I, along with the invert afternoon drinkers, cowered for a dutiful moment under Richard's stern, preemptive glare.